It's 12:06 and 70 degrees in Santa Fe as At Noon continues from KSFR News on Thursday, May 30th. Coming at this hour, following that bridge collapse outside Seattle, we'll check in with the Bridge Inspection Program Director in New Mexico to check on bridges here. New Mexico has a poor high school graduation rate. Now comes word that the number of expulsions of children from preschools makes New Mexico the worst in the nation in that category. And a former Martinez aide is indicted on federal charges of email hacking. I'm Bill Dupuy, back with those stories, 60 Seconds with Christopher Hagan, and more after headlines.
Santa Fe City Hall has approved Brian K. Snyder to succeed the retiring Robert Romero as city manager. Mayor David Koss named Snyder as his choice for the job after Romero announced earlier this month he would leave the $130,000 a year post as of tomorrow. Snyder has worked for the city since 2004 and has been most recently serving as public utilities director. In other action, Santa Fe City Council has approved grants for the coming year to some 35 youth organizations. The total amount awarded is roughly $1 million, for an average of about $28,000 per group. In addition, Council has awarded contracts to 15 social service agencies, totaling about $740,000. The highest amount went to La Familia Medical Center. It's getting $120,000 in city contracts for the coming year. A former campaign manager for Governor Susana Martinez has been indicted by a federal grand jury on computer intrusion and false statement charges. Jamie Estrada, 40, of Los Lunas, New Mexico, briefly worked for the Martinez campaign and had username and password authority for the governor's Susana2010.com website. Upon leaving the campaign in December 2009, Martinez asked Estrada to relinquish access to the domain. Later on, those using the account were locked out as the registration for the domain expired. They could not renew as they had no record of the account's passkeys. In 2011, the governor's staff contacted Estrada, asking him for the information, but he did not comply. The indictment charges that around that same time, he accessed the site and rerouted email communications intended for the governor and her staff to another site under his control. The Santa Fe man found guilty of double homicide over a $100 rent dispute has been sentenced to two consecutive life terms. Artha Anaya fatally shot teenager Austin Urban and 51-year-old Teresa Vigil back in January 2012 at a mobile home they were renting from him. Anaya has a lengthy criminal record and is known to have mental problems. District Court Judge Stephen Pfeffer presided at Anaya's sentencing, which, at minimum, requires serving 66 years in jail. The defendant plans to appeal. Elliver Kessler, the Santa Fe man also known as El Dentista, has been indicted by a grand jury. The unlicensed Kessler was performing dental work on folks out of his small red Chevrolet sedan. His business cards were in Spanish, offering several services such as teeth cleanings, fillings, extractions, and crowns. He was arrested back in April in an undercover sting operation. Kessler is being held without bond in the Santa Fe County Jail. He's scheduled for arraignment next Monday on multiple counts, including practicing dentistry without a license and possession of dangerous drugs. The Santa Fe Community Trust is to receive a $1.3 million grant to assist extremely low-income persons and families living with HIV/AIDS. The money comes by way of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development as part of HUD's renewal of support for 30 similar programs in 20 states. The trust will use the funding for 24 local households to receive rental assistance and contributions toward down payments on home purchases. A federal report on banking says profits earned by New Mexico's community banks rose 18% in the first quarter of this year over the same period last year. Banks around the nation saw their average earnings go up 16%, the highest quarterly earnings in history. Water flow in the Rio Grande may soon be curtailed in an effort to meet federal protection measures to save the endangered silvery minnow. Today's Albuquerque Journal says federal water managers could make a decision as early as this weekend. The U.S. Bureau of Reclamation has noted that in this third year of drought, there is not enough water available to meet legal requirements for the native fish. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has been asked to approve the Rio Grande curtailment measures until the rainy season arrives. Meanwhile, the newest U.S. Drought Monitor report is out and shows conditions unchanged since last week. Areas of exceptional drought, the most severe category, have not increased from the previously reported 45% of New Mexico. 1 year ago, however, no part of our state fell under that most severe classification. Tomorrow we'll see the Santa Fe Fire Department honoring retiring Fire Chief Barbara Salas in a traditional ride home on her last day of service. Salas has been with the department since 1995 and became its first female fire chief back in 2009. Friday's 4:30 ride begins at Fire Station 1 near Fort Marcy Park, passes near the plaza, and ends at the south side's Santa Maria de la Paz Church. Eric Litzenberg is Santa Fe's new fire chief. Weather for Santa Fe, mostly sunny and windy at times both today and tomorrow. Red flag warnings in effect for critical fire conditions. Daytime highs near 80 degrees with overnight lows in the mid-40s. For KSFR News, this is Dan Garrity.
Stocks up on Wall Street, everything ahead. The Dow Jones up 78 points at 15,380. It's 12 and a half on At Noon from KSFR News. Collapses of bridges aren't all that frequent around the country, but when they happen, they get a lot of attention. Sometimes they're very deadly. The 1967 collapse of a bridge in West Virginia sent 46 people to their deaths. When a hotel skywalk collapsed in 1982 in Kansas City, 114 died. That spectacular bridge collapse in Minneapolis a few years ago fortunately took not any more than 4 lives. And of course, the most recent bridge collapse injured just a few people outside Seattle. New Mexico doesn't have a lot of rivers to bridge over, but we do have bridges, so we thought we'd check in to see how they are. On the line is Dr. David Haguri of the Civil Engineering Department of New Mexico State. In addition to being at the school, you also manage the bridge inspection program for New Mexico.
We have a contract with the New Mexico Department of Transportation to do bridge inspections.
Well, how are bridges in New Mexico? There have been a lot of them crumbling around the United States.
You know, looking at what recently happened, the bridge in Washington, the I-5, that bridge actually collapsed because it is what is called functionally obsolete, meaning that the vertical clearance and the lateral clearances do not meet the current standards. That bridge was not related to the structural deficiency. And so as far as the state of New Mexico, we're doing well in terms of structurally deficient bridges, functionally obsolete bridges, in comparison to the national average.
Well, we don't have a lot of bridges anyway. Not many flowing rivers here.
Yeah, that's correct.
Do you have a number? How many bridges New Mexico has that are of large size?
Well, as far as the total number of bridges in the state of New Mexico, I actually have right in front of me here the National Bridge Inventory, and we have a total of 3,924 bridges in the state. Of which approximately 1,500 of those bridges are culverts. So the number of bridges, like pre-stressed concrete, steel girder bridges, those type are somewhere around 2,000.
Do walkways or overpasses count as bridges?
Like pedestrian?
Yes.
Bridges? Well, the ones that they have on the National Bridge Inventory are strictly highway bridges.
I see. The most recent of those probably is the Big Eye in Albuquerque, I imagine.
Yes, that's one of the more recent. That's one of the signature bridges in the state, one of the more larger structures. I believe it is the only one of its kind in terms of the type of construction, which is segmental post-tension concrete bridge construction.
Now, of the bridges you inspect, do you find any of them in danger of collapse?
Well, there's bridges that we call fracture critical, okay, and these are bridges that are located throughout the country. These are bridges that were built several decades ago, in, let's say in the 40s and the 50s. And fracture critical means that the structure is non-redundant, meaning that if you do have failure of a component, you know, the whole bridge may go. And for example, in Minnesota, they had a collapse of that structure because it was non-redundant. Now recently with the bridge in Washington, that was also non-redundant. It failed for a different reason. But as far as bridges of this nature that exist, yes, there's still bridges like this in the state of New Mexico as well as the rest of the country. So by no means is New Mexico the only state that has these types of bridges.
So what does that mean for bridge and driver safety?
Well, you know, we continually have to be keeping track of the condition of these structures. And as I've mentioned before to other individuals, you know, funding for rehabilitation and replacement of bridges is a critical need, and it's going to continue to be a critical need until we're given these funds. You know, for example, the way I like to look at it is, you know, everybody has a vehicle. You know, a lot of people have vehicles, and we're driving to work every day. And if you don't maintain that vehicle, you don't change the tires, you don't change the oil, you don't keep it up to par, it is eventually going to break down. And we have to look at our infrastructure the same way. You know, as inspectors, we go out there, inspectors go out there and document the condition and also look at maintenance issues. But it's not going to help if we're making recommendations and the funding's not there to actually go forward and help maintain these bridges. You know, for example, cleaning out deck drains, cleaning out joints, making sure the bearings are clear of debris. Those are all important, and we can't ignore the funding issues.
Very good. Professor Haraghi, many thanks.
Thank you.
It's 12:18 on at noon from KSFR News. Much has been made of numerous reports on New Mexico's low high school graduation rates and attempts to remedy that situation. Now another report is seeing the light that talks about a problem at the very beginning of a child's introduction to schooling. Turns out New Mexico has one of the highest rates in the nation for preschool expulsion. Dr. Ania Delfabro is the Childhood and Adolescent Subdivision of UNM's Department of Psychiatry. I asked her to share with us some of the background on this problem.
There is a study that was done by Walter Gilliam from Yale, and that was, it usually takes a couple of years for a study to be published, and that was in 2005. And New Mexico came out as having the highest preschool expulsion rate at that time. And what they found with that study, in addition, was that the preschool expulsion rate was three times higher than K through 12. So the preschoolers were being expelled at a much higher rate. Anecdotally, and in my practice, I see kids 0 to 5, and there is a fairly high preschool expulsion rate. From that study, what they found was that state-funded preschools, such as Head Start, Peanut Butter, and Jelly, were less likely to expel kids. It seemed more for-profit or private preschools. Now, we must keep in mind that with all studies, there are some challenges, and this was definitely a challenge because it was a random sample throughout the nation. And so what I'm saying is that we don't know what the exact numbers are in New Mexico itself. We would need to do a study of every single preschool in New Mexico to get exact numbers. But I think this does alert us to a very real problem, that we're expelling 3- and 4-year-olds and we don't have a good backup plan for them. And that has been my personal experience.
And what do you attribute all this to? Poor socialization skills? Or is it a reflection on parenting?
I think you're absolutely right. I think it's multifactorial. And I think all those things play a part. We also have to remember that New Mexico is a very poor state. So we don't have a lot of really good preschools, and there is difficulty accessing preschool. For some parents, they're too poor to pay for preschool. Also, you mentioned the parenting. I think there are some difficulties with that. The earlier we intervene with children, the better they do later on. There was a study done in the 60s called the Perry Preschool Intervention, and that is what Head Start is based on. And they were really looking to see if we have really good preschools, does it mean that a child will do better in school? And what they found was that it did help a little bit, but what it really helped with was decreasing teenage pregnancy, increasing ability to access work, decreasing crime rate in those children. So they followed them for about 27 years. And I think that was really a landmark study done back in the 60s with, you know, all the challenges of that. So I think preschools and childcare workers are in a very unique position of having access to children and their families throughout the day and for long periods of time. And so we need to support those parents. We do need to improve social and emotional development of children, and where that starts is really in the family. There is an economist, James Heckman, who got a Nobel Prize, and he talks about early intervention helping us fiscally. So we would get a 10% return if we really intervened early. And the place where we can intervene is in the family. Now, from the study by Gilliam, one thing that really helped these preschools was having a mental health specialist, and in particular an infant mental health consultant, helping the preschool teachers and caregivers to deal with the behaviors of particular children. In my experience, again, anecdotally, I've done in-services for preschools, including the Children's Campus at UNM, including a private preschool, in just talking to the caregivers about where those difficult behaviors come from. Some of them are developmentally appropriate, and helping them to work with the parents more closely rather than calling a parent in and saying your child is expelled.
So it's not so much a matter of any inherent emotional disability on the part of the child, but rather the reaction that caregivers and parents give to the behavior of the child?
Absolutely. And what we really need to be looking at, and Child Protective Services in New Mexico is really in the forefront of that, as is the New Mexico Association of Infant Mental Health, is working with families very early on in supporting them. So we're looking at working with families that are at a high risk, single moms, teen moms, firstborn children with medical issues, poor immigrant population, all these high-risk groups. We want to really work with them very closely early on. So we have home visiting programs where a social worker will go into the home and provide support to that parent. And infant mental health is multidisciplinary. So as a psychiatrist, I would have one piece. The social worker would have another piece. Some children really need speech therapy early on in order to, as you're saying, 3- and 4-year-olds, they need to verbalize and they need to express themselves. So you're absolutely right. We're looking at working very closely with the families and with the preschools. And hopefully kind of bridging that gap of bringing them closer together and doing what's in the best interest of the child.
Dr. Anella Del Fabbro at UNM on At Noon from KSFR News. In other news, authorities in New York say preliminary tests on two letters sent to Mayor Michael Bloomberg suggest they contain the deadly poison ricin. The writer threatened Bloomberg, referring to the debate on gun laws. It's unclear whether there's any link to other threatening Rice and Late letters sent to public figures. Emergency personnel who came into contact with one letter to Bloomberg showed minor symptoms of ricin exposure. A new study by the Pew Foundation finds that mothers are increasingly the primary breadwinners in their families, marking a dramatic shift in U.S. household finances. A record 40% of U.S. homes with children relied on mothers as their main or only source of income. Of the women supporting their families, 37% were married women who earned more than their husbands, but 63% were single mothers. In the 1960s, just 11% of families were supported primarily by mothers. A nationwide real estate firm says sellers of homes are now calling the shots. A survey by Century 21 Real Estate finds that a third of people searching for a home had been looking for more than a year and were willing to make compromises in order to close the deal. They say there are now 14% fewer homes for sale than last year, and sellers are less willing to negotiate on price. Trustees of Social Security and Medicare are scheduled to release an update on the health of the nation's disability fund tomorrow. It's expected to show that the Social Security Disability Insurance Program will run out of money in 3 years. Nearly 11 million people depend on federal disability payments. Our top local story at noon, a former campaign manager for Governor Susana Martinez has been indicted by a federal grand jury on charges of computer intrusion and false statements. 40-year-old Jamie Estrada of Los Lunas briefly worked for the Martinez campaign and had username and password authority for the governor's Susana2010.com website. On leaving the campaign in December 2009, Martinez asked Estrada to relinquish access to the domain. Later on, those using the account were locked out as the domain registration expired. They couldn't renew as they had no record of the account's passwords. In 2011, the governor's staff contacted Estrada, asking him for the information, but he didn't comply. The indictment by a federal grand jury charges that around that same time, he accessed the site and rerouted email communications intended for the governor and her staff to another site under his control. On Wall Street, stocks are up. The NASDAQ up a percentage point. The S&P 500 almost that much. The Dow Jones ahead 85 at 15,388.
What's new on KSFR2.org?
What's the problem?
Us. I'm afraid it's all over.
But you just moved in.
Yeah, and now I'm moving out.
Is this because my job with the census is over and now I'm out of work?
That's part of it.
How big a part?
100%.
Seriously Funny, created by Ron Bloomberg.
At 6:30, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights on KSFR2.org.
It dawned on me we haven't heard from this man in at least 24 hours.
The other morning I listened to my saved voicemails. That was a strange experience. Some of the voice messages dated from over 2 years ago. There was one message that made me smile. It was from me to me about something that happened at a subway in Albuquerque. Since it made me feel good a second time, I thought it might do the same for you. I walked into this Albuquerque subway and ordered a tuna sandwich and a bottle of water. The female server said, "That will be $7.37. For some unknown reason, probably genetic, I replied, "Oh, that feels like I might be leaving on a jet plane." Without missing a beat, she said, "Don't know when I'll be back again," to which I replied, "Yeah, I kind of hate to go." She smiled and said, "That's one of my favorite songs ever." As I turned to leave, she turned to the back of the subway, quietly singing,
"'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane."
And yes, it made my day. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.
More coming up.
If you're part of a nonprofit organization in Santa Fe, the P&M Resources Foundation has 10,000 reasons to get excited. They're celebrating 30 years of helping communities by making 30 $10,000 environmental grants. To learn more, visit pnm.com/foundation. The deadline to apply is June 17th. A message from the P&M Resources Foundation, a tax-exempt organization investing in our communities.
Programming on KSFR is underwritten in part by Medlin Mechanical, a full-service plumbing company specializing in green energy solutions for homes and business in the Santa Fe area for over 5 years. Medlin Mechanical's geothermal and solar systems are designed to cut energy costs and reduce carbon footprint. And tax credits for new systems are available through 2016. To learn more, visit medlinmechanical.com or call 577-8087. That's 577-8087.
Support comes from New Mexico Educators Federal Credit Union, where the more you participate in your not-for-profit financial cooperative, the more money you earn. For details on Earn Your Return, go to nmefcu.org or visit their branch on St. Michael's Drive.
Who said rodeo is just for cowboys? Well, they haven't been to a Chicks and Chaps event recently. This women's only rodeo clinic will be held Friday, June 21st at 1 p.m. at the Rodeo Grounds in Santa Fe and held as a fundraiser for the local organization Breast Wishes Fund. Keeping donations local is a key intent of Chicks and Chaps, whose goal is to raise money for breast cancer awareness. Contact Michelle Dyer at 920-8444.
In touch with our community, KSFR Santa Fe.
Our top local story at noon. A former campaign manager for Governor Susana Martinez has been indicted by a federal grand jury on charges of computer intrusion and false statements. 40-year-old Jamie Estrada of Los Lunas briefly worked for the Martinez campaign and had username and password authority for the governor's Susana2010.com website. On leaving the campaign in December 2009, Martinez asked Estrada to relinquish access to the domain. Later on, those using the account were locked out as the domain registration expired. They couldn't renew as they had no record of the account's passwords. In 2011, the governor's staff contacted Estrada, asking him for the information, but he didn't comply. The indictment by a federal grand jury charges that around that same time, he accessed the site and rerouted email communications intended for the governor and her staff to another site under his control. On Wall Street, stocks are up. The NASDAQ up a percentage point. The S&P 500 almost that much. The Dow Jones ahead 85 at 15,388. 12:30.
BBC News with Neil Nunes. The Syrian President Bashar al-Assad has suggested that Russia has delivered a first shipment of advanced air defense missiles. In an interview with Hezbollah's television station Al-Manar, which is being broadcast now, President Assad said Russia would fulfill its contracts with Syria. Meanwhile, the main Syrian opposition group outside the country has said that it will not attend a major peace conference planned for next month while mass killing continues in the town of Qusair. A court in New York has sentenced a man to 25 years in prison for his role in a plot to kill Saudi Arabia's ambassador to the United States. Mansour Arabsaya, an American citizen who was born in Iran, had pleaded guilty to charges including conspiracy to commit an act of terrorism. Five Rwandans have appeared in court in Britain following a request from Rwanda to have them extradited to face trial for genocide and crimes against humanity. They are accused of taking a leading role in the 1994 genocide. The government in Malawi has rejected opposition criticism that a deal to send tens of thousands of jobless youths to work in South Korea amounted to slave labor. The labor minister told the BBC that she just wanted to help young people in Malawi and was acting in good faith to reduce the high rate of youth unemployment. Two prominent opposition activists in Russia have denounced next year's Winter Olympics in Sochi as a monstrous scam, saying half the $50 billion spent on the Games has been stolen. Their report said nepotism, censorship, and the absence of fair competition had led to a sharp increase in the cost of the Games. And police in Germany are warning rail passengers to beware of ticket machines that could explode. Criminals have been pumping a volatile gas into the machines to blow them up and steal the cash inside, but some attempts have failed, leaving the dangerous gas behind. BBC World News.
What's new on KSFR2.org?
What's the problem?
Us. I'm afraid it's all over.
But you just moved in.
Yeah, and now I'm moving out.
Is this because my job with the census is over and now I'm out of work?
That's part of it.
How big a part?
100%.
Seriously Funny, created by Ron Blumberg.
At 6:30, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday nights on KSFR2.org.
At noon from KSFR News, Bill Dupuy and the Midday News team with you. Glad to have you with us. Is austerity killing the U.S.? A drop in government spending apparently has dragged more on the U.S. economy than initially thought in the first 3 months of this year. And another report on today, Thursday, showed that the number of new jobless claims rose last week. And together, those two pieces of data reinforce the view that the U.S. economy may be entering yet another soft patch. Dan's back with local headlines.
The Santa Fe man found guilty of double homicide over a $100 rent dispute has been sentenced to two consecutive life terms. Artha Anaya fatally shot teenager Austin Urban and 51-year-old Teresa Vigil back in January 2012 at a mobile home they were renting from him. Anaya has a lengthy criminal record and is known to have mental problems. District Court Judge Stephen Pfeffer presided at Anaya's sentencing, which, at minimum, requires serving 66 years in jail. The defendant plans to appeal. Eliver Kessler, the Santa Fe man also known as El Dentista, has been indicted by a grand jury. The unlicensed Kessler was performing dental work on folks out of his small red Chevrolet sedan. His business cards were in Spanish, offering several services such as teeth cleanings, fillings, extractions, and crowns. He was arrested back in April in an undercover sting operation. Kessler is being held without bond in the Santa Fe County Jail. He's scheduled for arraignment next Monday on multiple counts, including practicing dentistry without a license and possession of dangerous drugs. The Santa Fe Community Trust is to receive a $1.3 million grant to assist extremely low-income persons and families living with HIV/AIDS. The money comes by way of the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development as part of HUD's renewal of support for 30 similar programs in 20 states. The trust will use the funding for 24 local households to receive rental assistance and contributions toward down payments on home purchases. A federal report on banking says profits earned by New Mexico's community banks rose 18% in the first quarter of this year over the same period last year. Banks around the nation saw their average earnings go up 16%, the highest quarterly earnings in history.
Many thanks, Dan. It's 72 degrees right now on our way to upper 70s for highs. Windy, red flag warnings are out, meaning extremely high fire danger. It dawned on me we haven't heard from this man in at least 24 hours.
The other morning I listened to my saved voicemails. That was a strange experience. Some of the voice messages dated from over 2 years ago. There was one message that made me smile. It was from me to me about something that happened at a Subway in Albuquerque. Since it made me feel good a second time, I thought it might do the same for you. I walked into this Albuquerque Subway and ordered a tuna sandwich and a bottle of water. The female server said, "That will be $7.37. For some unknown reason, probably genetic, I replied, "Oh, that feels like I might be leaving on a jet plane." Without missing a beat, she said, "Don't know when I'll be back again." To which I replied, "Yeah, I kind of hate to go." She smiled and said, "That's one of my favorite songs ever." As I turned to leave, she turned to the back of the subway, quietly singing, and yes, it made my day. For KSFR, I'm Christopher Hagen.